Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19. Bible says, "Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them," let's manage those doors, please, thank you, "we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life." Lord, we thank you for your promise, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you meet us here this morning. We thank you that we can cry like a child and that you hear us in heaven. We thank you that you meet us, Lord. We thank you that you went to the cross so we didn't have to. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Be betrayed to the hands of men. Cross is waiting for Jesus. Jesus has an appointment with a cross. No one, Jesus tells it in the book of John, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. There was an appointment in Jerusalem that Jesus was moving toward. We all have an appointment with the cross. It is a place to lay down our lives and pick up the life of Christ. My appointment was 25 years ago. I had spent my life trying to avoid the cross. Perhaps you can relate. I thought I could do it on my own, but the more I tried, the closer I got to the cross. The more I tried, the more frustrated I became in my life. And at the tender age of 29, I bent a knee to the Lord. I said, "Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it." And amazingly, in a moment, I felt the Holy Spirit come into my life. And as I laid down my old life, I picked up new life in Christ. And I was transformed. Amen? Amen? Perhaps that will happen for you today. Perhaps you have an appointment with the cross today. We are in a series called Breaking Through the Darkness. And many of you have, and I celebrate the light in your lives. It is a focus on the cross, and we have focused on the cross this whole month leading up to today. And we'll continue next week in looking at Jesus' second coming, as Ann had talked about during the offering. Cross changes everything. Son of Man will rise on the third day. Cross changes everything. This was a challenge for the apostles. Now, the apostles were not the most scholarly of men, fishermen, blue-collar men. But the resurrection of the Lord is discussed nowhere in the Old Testament. It was not what they were waiting for or looking for. They were looking for someone like Moses, who would lead them out of slavery, lead them into freedom, away from the Romans, and reestablish the kingdom of Israel. So as Jesus went to the cross, they were indeed confused. Jesus came to make a change, but he came to make a change in a way that nobody expected. He would lead them into freedom from sin. And he would reestablish the kingdom to Israel that would last forever. But he would do it through the cross in a way that no one expected. The title of our message today is Life After the Cross. Let's take a look. We'll read mainly from Matthew chapter 27 and 28 today. And we're going to roll back from Resurrection Day to the burial of Jesus, which happened on Saturday. Matthew 27, 57 through 61. Now, Saturday starts in the Jew for the Jews on Friday night. And it can mess up your thinking. So it was as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Joseph is no longer undercover. See, Joseph was a member of the ruling Jewish council, and he had become a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate to ask permission to remove Jesus' body from the cross because it was customary for bodies to remain on the cross until they rotted, especially those who were accused of treason, as Jesus was. So Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate to get permission to pull Jesus' body down from the cross, and that permission was granted because Pilate, as is told to us, knew that the charges were trumped up, that the priests were working their own plan. John tells us that Joseph was accompanied by Nicodemus, both members of the ruling Jewish council. They were secret disciples of Jesus. And what we realize today is they come to the cross and Jesus goes to the cross and through the cross, that their secret is secret no more. That the cross forces you to make a choice. Choose Christ or stay the way you are. Amen? Now, I see some children, and we love children. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We love children so much that we have a cry room right over there where children, you heard it earlier, they can cry to their heart's desire. And downstairs there's a nursery, and there's a camera, and you go down there, and they can cry even louder. So, if you would like to know where that cry room is and let your child kind of be free, because I mean, I could preach, but little children sometimes would rather not have me do that. So, that's just a little free promo for the nursery and the nursery workers. Anyway, you can do with that what you may. The secret is secret no more. The cross forces us to make a choice. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And so, as Joseph and as Nicodemus are trying to lead this secret life of discipleship, Jesus says, that's not good enough. That you will be forced to make a choice. And that you can declare me before those people around you. But if you keep it a secret on that day, your secret will remain a secret. Joseph and Nicodemus, they are out in the open. They are disciples of Christ. They take the body of Jesus. They wrap it in a cloth. They buy 75 pounds of spices to wrap his body with, which is an incredible amount. An incredible amount of money would have gone into this burial. And Joseph, a rich man, gives his own tomb so that Jesus might be buried. So the cross changes everything. And there is a cost that goes with the cross.
Right.
Amen? Let's keep going. Matthew 26, 62 to 66. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, said after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body. Tell people that he has been raised from the dead. And this last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and post a guard. The priest had to go to Pilate for permission as well. No military actions could be taken without Pilate's permission. They go and they say, "Hey, can we get a guard?" He says, "Take a guard." He translates that, "You have a guard. You take that guard." And so the very guard that is placed outside of Jesus' tomb is the guard of the high priest. And the man of God, seeking to protect the things of God, start working against God. So the cross changes everything. You can fight it, or you can go with it. God uses the efforts of the Jews to thwart him, to merely fulfill his plan. Amen. The priest placed guards outside of the tomb to make sure that the disciples don't mess with Jesus' body, and that very guard serves as proof that they never got in there to mess with the body. Are you tracking with me on that? See, God will use anything to get you to your appointment with the cross. Now, they took Jesus, hung him on a cross, beat him, flogged him, crucified him, killed him, and did nothing to dissipate their anger. After having killed Jesus, still that bitterness remained. For some, the cross changes nothing. Amen? Amen. Went to the skate park as normal. I'm trying to remember what day. You know, they kind of roll together. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday. Wendy and I went. And I was so encouraged, because we are walking up and put the food out there. We feed these kids over there skating. And these kids are in a sorry state. I mean, most of them getting high every day, skating, going nowhere. Bringing forth the word. And here is this kid. Well, he's probably 20, 18 to 20, something like that. Sitting there with a Bible open on the table. Amen. Glory. Yeah. Right? And so I got some food and stuff. And this guy looks at me and he says, "Do you worship Jesus?" And I am thinking, how good can it get, man? And I'm like, "You betcha I worship the Lord Jesus Christ." And this dude stands up and begins to berate me, begins to berate the church, begins to berate the New Testament, saying, "You show me where in the Bible the Most High Yahweh says that we should worship Jesus." And I'm like, what is up with this dude? This is a bitter young man. And we get into this, man. And I mean, he is going off. And where's Wendy? He was going off, right, Wendy? Yeah, he was going off. She was safe. She was another table. And I start, "Don't be using that New Testament on me. That New Testament is nothing." I'm like, "Dude, you got a Bible right there. Where are you coming from?" So I talk with him some more, and I realize that he is what he would describe himself as, a Jewish Israelite. All right. You know who they are? You ever see those? Well, anyway. He said that the slaves that were shipped over to the Americas, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, are the remnants of the 10 scattered tribes of Israel. I'm like, dude, you got like 2,500 years of history in the middle there that you're missing. So I have never heard of this before, and I am reeling. And he continues on, And he's talking and he's yelling and he's bitter. And I'm like, dude, you grab onto the Old Testament? Yeah. And he goes, and nowhere. I spent some time with this guy. I'm not going to go into the details. But I go, you know what? You believe that there is healing from heaven? Yes, I do. I said, why don't you preach that? I said, you know what? These kids out here, they're getting high every day, chasing girls all over the place. They are going no place good. They could use a message that there is healing from heaven rather than the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. There's a whole lot of stuff that we agree on that we can bring as a message of salvation to these kids. Amen. And he weakened for a moment. You show me where in the New Testament it says, where Yahweh speaks and says that we should worship Jesus, and I'll shut up. And at that point, I grabbed onto Wendy. I said, Wendy, you heard that, right? She's like, what? Look at me. I said, you heard that, Wendy? He's going to be quiet. And I turned to the baptism of Jesus, and I said, look, right there, voice from heaven, behold my son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm not taking that. And such bitterness, such anger. Sometimes the cross makes no change. And in this man and in those priests, there was no change. I hope today you have an appointment with the cross. And today, you can be changed. Amen? Amen. All right. We okay? Yes. All right. Praise the Lord. Starts with the women. You know, the women would have been the weakest witness available. They were not allowed to testify in courts. But Jesus starts with women, and all the ladies in the house said, amen. All the ladies in this house said?
Amen.
There we go. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The women approached the tomb. They were checking it out. This was customary in the Jewish tradition of the day, that someone would come and make sure that the guy had not come back to life. You know, I mean, medical things, the way they were, sometimes like, hey. So 3 days was the key. And if you remember, I looked it up, it was the fourth day when Jesus went to Lazarus's tomb to raise him from the dead, so there would be no doubt to the miracle of Jesus raising him from the dead. You tracking with me there? And so they approach, and there's an earthquake. Oh, that's kind of unique. All right. And they arrive, and the stone is rolled away, and an angel is sitting on it. And he is gleaming like lightning. And he has quite an impact. Quite an impact on the ladies. Quite an impact on the guards. The guards are paralyzed. They are like dead men at the approach of one angel. One angel, right? These are the best guards that the chief priest has, a crew of them. I don't know how many. One angel. Can you imagine the impact of 12 legions of angels that Jesus said would come to his rescue if he but asked? I think we have no clue of the impact of the kingdom of God, or the possible impact if God releases the power of heaven in our midst.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. The angel gives the women a message. The angel said to the women, don't be afraid. It was common about anybody who sees an angel, right? For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen. Can I get an amen on that? Just as he said. Said where? What we read. Back in Matthew 17, third day. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, I have told you. And these ladies are afraid. Probably confused as well. They are the first recipients of the good news. He has risen from the dead. And that good news is a challenge to all who hear it. And because of that, we struggle with it to fit it into our mind, into our intellect. And so the angel says, come, see where he lay. See the proof. The Gospels, they present the fact of the resurrection. It is the later epistles that present the impact of the resurrection, because the cross changes everything. And it's the resurrection of Jesus that validates the cross. Amen. Tracking with me? I think Ian quoted this. 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. If Christ is not raised, the cross changes nothing. There is no escape on Judgment Day. And even worse, there's no escape for us today. You see, we are just like the Jews back in the day, slaves to sin. They were slaves to the Romans. We are slaves to sin. Cross changes everything. Jesus came to set us free, and the cross is the tool. So many of you here have been set free. I talked about how I had been set free. And so many of you running with reckless abandon, like those ladies with the good news, having been set free from sin. There is a young lady that goes to church here. And when she started, her friends were invited. The man she lived with would not allow her to come to church. But God, Jesus, had an appointment for her at the cross. Time went on. Things got worse. The man was there. The invitation, Jesus pulling her. I have something for you. I have freedom for you. I have fullness for you. Have you heard that pull? Have you felt that pull? And as time went on, she began to come closer and closer to the cross, and that cross forced her to make a choice. New life or old? That's what the cross does. Changes everything. For you to be transformed by the cross, your old life needs to be laid down. She grabbed onto the cross, and there was a period of time in which she was trying to grab onto the new life and keep that old life going. You know what that feels like? Oh, yeah. Because it's a challenge to lay down that old life. But this young lady chose Christ. This young lady grabbed onto the cross. This young lady was changed. And she's still working out that change, but that guy no longer lives in that house. Because when you grab onto the cross, lay down that old life, you grab onto Jesus and all that goes with him. Amen? Amen. Cross changes everything. Maybe today there's a change for you. Amen? Amen? All right, let's keep going. The Lord sends out the message, because we've been talking about an angel so far. We go to Matthew 28, 8 through 10. So the woman hurried away from the tomb. You think they were running? I think they were running. I think they had something on their mind. Afraid, yet now filled with joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he says. They came to him, clasped, I worked on pronouncing that, his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Cross changes everything. When you meet Jesus, everything is different. Amen? They are filled with excitement. They're still afraid, but their fear is mixed with joy. They are running to tell the disciples. They have the good news. Jesus is raised. And on the way, they meet Jesus. Greetings, he says. Korea, rejoice. And they fall to their knees and they begin to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no hesitation. There is no doubt. And he says, go and tell my brothers. Could have been more than the 11. Could have included Joseph of Arimathea. You think maybe? Maybe included Nicodemus. Both of those men had been changed by the cross. Could have included Lazarus, raised from the dead. Amen? Could have included Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. All kinds of people could have been included as brothers and sisters of Christ. I hope that includes you this morning. Let's come to Galilee. I will meet you there. Keep on reading. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some hesitated. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the end of the age. The 11 went to go meet with Jesus. Go and make disciples. Go tell people about me. Baptize them. Train them, teach them, equip them. Teach them how to be obedient to all the things that I have said. And he says, I'll be with you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. That's a great deal today, amen? See, the cross changes everything. Cross will change your focus. Cross will change your purpose. It was the cross that changed me. And so many of us in this room today. And today we come to celebrate the change that comes from the cross. Amen? We celebrate the cross. At least you can come up. We celebrate the cross this morning, that his resurrection enables us to celebrate this heinous instrument of death, because his resurrection proves that death has lost its sting. And there is no more power over death in our lives. Amen? Amen? So we can celebrate this change. We can celebrate the cross. We can celebrate the appointment. And maybe you come here this morning and you got an appointment that you have been trying to skirt with so much effort. The cross has come near to you in your life and you have run away. Change has come to you and you have tried to hold on to the old and hold on to the new, and it just hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. But this morning, amen, there is an appointment for you in this place. Amen. Make that appointment. It causes you to lay down your old life and grab onto the cross and grab onto our Lord and be completely and totally changed, because it's the cross that changes everything. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are indeed raised from the dead. Lord, that you poured out your Spirit on me so many years ago in street in Sacramento. Your Holy Spirit came to me, transformed my life, gave me new life, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I can run, shout the good news. He is risen from the dead. Lord, I thank you that I can indeed make disciples, Lord. That I can teach, Lord, that we can baptize right here in this church in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I thank you that so many have been set free. So many have made that same appointment. And I thank you that there is a cross here today, Lord, and that we can gather around it and be transformed. Yes, Lord, you're here this morning. You're here maybe just because your kids want to win a bike. Well, what an incredibly great reason to make your appointment with the cross. Surrender your old life and find new life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody looking around this morning, but you don't know what's going on. But the Lord is speaking right to your heart, and he is saying, this message is for you. This appointment is for you. I have new life for you this morning. Let go of your old life. Grab onto me. Grab onto the cross, and you will be transformed, and you will be with me forever. Nobody looking around. That's you this morning. And you want to grab onto the cross and have you just slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning, Pastor. I want to find new life in you. Just slide your hand up right here. Somebody else will say, that's me. Right here, right here, right here. All right here. Back there. Back there. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. Anybody else? Say, that's me this morning. I want new life in Christ. I want to come to the cross this morning. I want to be transformed. Last shot. Didn't put your hand up before. You're saying, I want that. I want to lose out on that. I want to wait another year. Anybody else, slide your hand up. That's me this morning. Right here. Back there, I see that hand. Lord, you are good, mighty, and awesome. I invite you all just to stand where you're at. Worship team is going to come. The women, when they met Jesus, they ran to him and they kneeled before him and they worshiped him. You want to grab on to the cross this morning. Perhaps you've tried to grab on to that cross this morning. It will take effort. It took effort for Jesus to hang on the cross for you. I invite you this morning, we're going to sing a song. I invite you, as the ladies came and knelt before the Lord, that you would come and that you would kneel before the Lord. I want to pray with you. I have other folks that will pray with you. And you can be changed. And you can be made new. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Let's sing this song.